Good morning. I'm Christopher Purdy. Delighted to welcome you all to All Sides Weekend. We get together once a month on this program and we discuss what's going on in the arts and culture in Central Ohio. And I have three eager debutantes to the program today who, even though it's the first time that they're visiting us, they have been living and working with great success in this area for some time. But it's time to bring them to you. So here they are. Justin Johnston is the director, the executive director at Wild Goose Creative, and we're going to tell you all about that in just a moment. It's a very intriguing name, so we're going to have things to talk about.
Absolutely.
Larry Griffin is the founder, artistic director, and conductor at Capriccio Columbus, which is a choir. And Joel Vega is the founder and artistic director of the Mid-Ohio Opera Company. And since Joel has come down from Mansfield, he's made the biggest trip today. We're going to begin with Joel. Are you out of your mind?
Yes. The answer is yes. I'm a tenor and artistic director, so yes.
You seem to be a nice guy. You seem normal. You're married. You have children. You're founding an opera company. What's going on here?
Well, it's a little bit of self-hatred and a little bit of hopefulness. I moved back to my hometown in Mansfield about 4 years ago now, and there was such an amazing community music education group thing going on there. And we had we have an orchestra that's been there 85 years. It's a union orchestra. We have some wonderful church music series. And I just felt that it was time to bring in all my old friends and call in some old favors and bring in some professional singers.
So your opera company uses people who are living in the area, your friends and neighbors performing with you?
We do use community members, but we also held national auditions. We have singers from New York, L.A., Colorado. So we have a really nice mix.
The Mansfield Symphony is a wonderful family member here on Music in Mid-Ohio on Classical 101, and they're very fine, and they have been around a great time. You also have the Renaissance Theater, which is a beautiful venue there.
Yes, we do.
So I'm not really surprised that an opera company is springing up in Mansfield. When did you begin operations?
We did our first performance in 2014. We performed Paiachi in concert at a local United Methodist church, which was fantastic. The Pastor Joy over there said, it was great, but can you get me a better headline? Love, Sex, and Violence in the Methodist Church was not really what I wanted.
I bet they got quite a nice crowd there.
But that was in 2014. And we've been cruising ever since.
That's wonderful. And you have Madame Butterfly coming up shortly.
Madame Butterfly is in July 20th, 22nd, 24th.
We'll talk about that later. Bring out your handkerchiefs because that's a weeper, that one, Madame Butterfly.
Yeah.
I am intrigued by the name Wild Goose Creative.
Sure.
Justin Johnston, first of all, where is it? And secondly, what is it?
Good question. So Wild Goose Creative, where is it? It is pretty much on the corner of Summit and Hudson. It's on Summit. Two doors down from Rumba Cafe, right around the corner from Rambling House Soda Pop, if you know that. And we're about to be across the street from Muse Kids Records, which we are really excited about. They're moving into our neck of the woods. What is Wild Goose Creative? Wild Goose Creative is a gallery and event space that caters to cool ideas from local emerging artists. So on the gallery side, we have a monthly exhibition, a monthly show. And most of the artists that are showing on our walls are showing professionally for the first time. They're all local, and they're all amazing. On the event side, we do really anything. We have about 20 to 25 events every month, largely arts-focused. And the pitch is, if you have an idea, as long as it's not too dangerous, we will make it happen at Wild Goose Creative.
I saw a film there with a concert. It was a film and a live concert of young people from Cincinnati who had come up.
Yep.
And I was wondering as I went in where your audience comes from. And judging from the people I sat around, they came from all over the area. There was no one neighborhood. I mean, people were driving there, people were walking there, et cetera.
Absolutely. We do have a good connection and engagement with our local neighborhood, but people from all over the city, all over Columbus, Grandview, Upper Arlington, Short North, come to our events. We reach a pretty wide demographic.
Yes, but when you do so many things, is it hard to get focus on a clientele or how do you market yourself if you have – I know you have writing workshops and you have exhibitions and you have film, et cetera. Do you put yourself out there just as a community resource or resources for – this or that or the other segment?
That's a good question. On the one
I know,
hand,
that's why they keep me.
You know, the simple tagline is Wild Goose is where you go to be a part of the art. So if you want to be, if you are an artist and you have an interesting idea and you want to make it come to life, come to Wild Goose. If you are someone that's creatively curious and you just want to see new and interesting things and be a part of the audience, Wild Goose is the place to go. We're a very hospitable space. Everybody that comes in, when you come through those doors, you just know that the magic is happening at Wild Goose. So we have something for everybody.
What if I had an idea of something that – what if somebody had an idea of something they thought would be an interesting kind of a presentation and they came to you? Is it as easy as coming to Justin and saying, would you guys be interested in hosting this with your space? Or would I rent it or would you present it yourselves? How does that work?
Sure. So we're open to a lot of options, but traditionally we act as a very affordable rental space. So if you have an idea and if it's an arts event, we will rent our space to you at about a third of what market value is.
It's a good space. It's a good space in a you get a lot of the university, I'm sure, people. You get the funk.
Yep.
The funk neighborhood. Let's get real. You're not in Upper Arlington. I mean,
right.
It's an edgy kind of a place, I think, and I think I say that as a compliment.
Hopefully. Yeah. Absolutely. So we have a really great vibe, and that's partly just the atmosphere of the space itself, and it's also just part of the halo effect of the people that come in and the events that they produce in our space. It's kind of strange and wonderful.
Well, we'll look forward to more. We've got an hour, so think about other things and tell me about it. Larry Griffin, I have had so many people talk to me about Capriccio and saying you have to do more with Capriccio. You have to have them in. Here you are, having heard Capriccio last Sunday at Otterbein University as part of the Misa Cubana, which was the Cuban Mass that was given with the Westerville Symphony and the choirs at Otterbein, which was phenomenal.
Thank you.
And must have been a lot of fun to work on.
Oh, yes.
But talk to me about how did Capriccio begin? What is it? And sell me.
Okay. Well, Capriccio is it's a choir that I started. I had a parent-teacher choir. We had 40 members in my parent-teacher choir. We decided that I wanted something different.
Parent-teacher choir. How did that work?
I taught Worthington Kilbourn High School for 22 years. And my parent-teacher, they wanted to sing with, they just wanted to sing.
Not with the kids, though, right?
No,
I mean, I don't want my parents around. Right,
every
good.
Christmas concert, they said, well, could we do something for a Christmas concert? And we did. And it evolved into something that was fantastic. And then Maria Gordon, who you know.
I do, yes.
Maria, I talked to her and some of my presidents and that former president. I said, guys, I want a community choir. So we sat and had coffee. I pretty much sat back and let them talk because they knew what they were doing. Then we had auditions. We had 56 singers. Our first performance was with Robert Franz, Maestro Franz, at the Mansfield Symphony.
Sure.
We did Beethoven's Ninth with the Mansfield Symphony and their group. And then it took off from there. I decided that I wanted more types of things. So I needed an assistant, so I called Carrie Horton. Carrie's in the group, and she's been with me from the start. And so now we do major works. I love spirituals, so I spend a lot of time doing spirituals. We try to do works that are different. We just finished – we're working on Carl Jenkins' Requiem for June 11th. We just finished Misa Cubana. We've done the Puccini Mass, which I love. And then so anything that I can dream up, we get to do.
Keep dreaming. It sounds wonderful.
Thank you.
I look forward very much to the Carl Jenkins Requiem because if you don't know it out there, America, that is a beautiful piece.
Yes.
And you should know more about it. You have had very strong community involvement. You've had Maria Gordon. You've had a certain wonderful, lovely, generous, and nagging pediatrician now living in Baltimore who shall be nameless.
Bless wonderful.
Her.
Yes.
She is indeed Julie Kastrup. Hello. Do you have any of your former students now singing with you?
Yes, I have about six or seven, and then and matter of fact, I have one that's kind of being our a managing type. She's a nonprofit person. She's helping out with that. It's a family. It's a family, and so a lot of my daughter sang in the group. My son has matter of fact, he just finished doing Rafe Vaughan Williams' Five Mystical Songs with us. in April, I think. No, oh, it's February.
So. Your son is Calvin Griffin, who is a young opera singer, who is going to be in Twisted in the fall, which is the collaboration between Ballet Met, Opera Columbus, and the Columbus Symphony.
Yes.
And there are pictures of him out there, all in black, surrounded by some very, very beautiful women.
Yes.
And it's a very, I mean, envious picture. I hope you were present at the photo shoot. So that
I wasn't.
Could,
okay. You know, he wouldn't let me. He's tall and handsome, and I'm short and fat. And so...
we dads tend to be
that's it. Yeah. So, but I'm very excited about it, and my daughter sings with Wright State Collegiate Chorale, so she's performing as well. She's we have a very musical family.
You were a choral director at Worthington Kilbourne
for 22 years.
And
yes.
What other instruments do you play? I think you also play brass instruments. Don't you?
I used to play the euphonium.
Yeah,
and I was in the band for a while, and I wouldn't dare pick up a euphonium now because my lips would probably fall off. But yes, I did that. It was exciting.
Well, the kind of gist of this program has been, I've used the term startups, although Wild Goose isn't really a startup. It's been there for a while.
We're still scrappy.
Well, but the three of you are started something yourselves or got involved with something that you did yourselves and are now taking off. I mean, a lot of times after a year, you go, this isn't going to go. You throw up your hands. It's too much work. It's too much. It's costing me too much money. Forget about it. It strikes me that you're all past that, and things are starting to really – people are knowing about you, and they're talking about you. And I – when we come back from a break in a few minutes, I want to talk about really getting past the startup phase into the next phase and how you got there, how you stood – how you stayed in the game. What told you that really it was important to stay in the game besides love? Because we all love, but we like eating too.
Right.
We like paying the mortgage as well. Just quickly before we break, Joel, and we'll come back to you. You began your career in music as a performer, is that correct?
Yes, I have a master's in voice performance.
As a tenor. Mm-hmm. How did you make the transition? Because now you still sing. I know you continue to sing, but now you're also an administrator. How did you make that kind of transition?
Just sheer necessity. When you start a company and you love it, you just learn as you go. And I've heard a lot of people starting up businesses from a restaurant to whatever say, if I had known all the things that I needed to know, I never would have started it. But since we're in the middle of the stream, you just keep going out of love and out of sheer stubbornness.
Sometimes knowledge can be frightening, and
right.
It's better to learn as you go along. We're going to take a break right now. When we come back, more talk about the arts and startups making good here in Central Ohio with Joel Vega, Larry Griffin, and Justin Johnston. I'm Christopher Purdy. Don't go away. And we are back. Thank you very much. I'm Christopher Purdy with today's All Sides Weekend. We're talking about startups really taking off here in Central Ohio in the arts with Joel Vega, who is the founder and artistic director of Mansfield's Mid-Ohio Opera, with Larry Griffin, who is the founder and artistic director of the Capriccio Chorus. What's the full proper name? Capriccio Chorale?
Capriccio Columbus.
Capriccio Columbus. Mm-hmm. Easy enough to remember.
Yes.
And Justin Johnston is the executive director of Wild Goose Creative that does everything.
We do a little bit of everything.
Yeah. Whatever if you thought about it, come on in. You
can exactly.
Talk about make it done.
Shoot me an email. We'll make it happen.
Okay. Joel Vega, you're a tenor. You have a family. You're starting this opera company that has to be incredibly labor intensive. You have performances coming up in June. What was the first response from the audiences up there in Mansfield when you began to work? I mean, so your mother came and brought her lady friends, and they all came there. But what about the general public?
You know, and that's actually what really fueled this. We started it up on a whim. We did Paiacci in concert just to say, hey, let's see what happens. And we had so much love from people and such an amazing emotional reaction that we had to keep going. The final scene where Canio stabs Netta, I thought everyone saw this coming, right? We've been coming up to this point for a long time. But I was singing Canio. We went out into the aisle of the church, and when I stabbed Miss Stephanie Ball, a wonderful soprano, there was a gasp. People, I heard a little scream, and all the oxygen left the room. And afterwards, I thought, people, this was so violent and intense. What are they going to think? But
in
they
the
loved
Methodist
it.
Methodist Church yet. Shame in the on me- you.
Someone
shame
went,
on you.
Ah! Yeah. And, but we had such amazing love, and people said, we have never experienced this like this. It was so close. It was so intimate. It was so emotional. Do it again. Okay.
I mean, Mansfield is not a cultural desert. There have been a great many. There's a lot going on up there in the Renaissance Theater, and there's the symphony. There's choral music. Mm-hmm. As you mentioned, yes. There's very good church music. But you probably were playing to a lot of people who had never been to an opera and thought stereotypically it was a lot of big people screaming at each other.
exactly.
And here you were getting down in the church aisle, if you don't mind my saying so.
Yeah, no. Yeah. They loved it. And actually, I think one of the best examples of that is we have a community-based opera chorus. About 30, 35 voices. Last year, we performed a comedy, The Elixir of Love, which was fantastic. I did not sing the tenor in that. Nemorino, we brought him in, Marcos Vigil from New York City.
It's better for you than Kanye. I don't want to say
it. Oh, well, yeah, most likely. Anyways, but this chorus, maybe two of them had even seen an opera. And here they were learning Italian. We had fantastic chorus masters. And at the end of the experience this year, they all came back and they brought friends. So the reaction's been, I didn't know opera was this fun.
And they were doing that for love, I'm sure. So that's
absolutely
even better. That's terrific. We have a little music right now from the Capriccio Columbus, Larry Griffin. We have a little Cole Porter to get us down for a bit, and then we'll come back and talk some more.
In olden days, a glimpse of stocking was looked on as something shocking.
Capriccio Columbus, conducted by Larry Griffin, the choir that brings you Beethoven's Ninth Symphony and the Misa Cubana and music of Bach and Mozart and Cole Porter, Anything Goes. So you're very eclectic,
yes.
Aren't you? Yes.
Yes.
How do you make a program, and who do you program for?
That's a good question. Well, of course. It's pretty much music that I love. And I try to put together a theme. So all of our works, and Carrie Horton and I sit down and we discuss it, and we put the music together that we feel that, one, that we can rehearse for 9 weeks, two, that we think the audience will love. My thing is giving them a variety. So we may do a major work followed by some art songs. Then we always do a set of spirituals, of Negro spirituals. That is a must. That's something I wanted to do when I was in college.
You'll have them all crying, I'm sure, because some of them are so beautiful.
We were fortunate enough this year to work with Stacy Gibbs. He came in and worked with our choir in October. We become good friends, and now we're going to be going to Detroit to sing with him. We're going to Carnegie Hall next year to sing with him in Carnegie Hall. Like I said, we have our youth choir sang with us. They have a concert this Sunday, May 1st, I think it is, at 4 p.m. If I do that wrong, I'll get in trouble. June 11th, like I said, we're doing at Beechwald Community Church.
How did you go from your very first concert 10 years ago to where you are now?
Well, we started out, at first I was would listen to people and get ideas and see what they thought. And then I realized that I don't work well that way. I like the way I do things. Sometimes it gets me in trouble, but I like the way I do it. So therefore, Carrie and I would get together and we discussed everything and we said, okay, this is what we want. I want something that's exciting. I want something that's different. I do not necessarily want everybody commenting on this is the way so-and-so did it. 9 times out of 10, they haven't heard it. And we've done the Bluegrass Mass.
That's a beautiful piece.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to do it again. But things like that are not being done in Columbus that we've tried to approach. So that just a variety of things that we come up with. And so that it weaves together and makes a kind of a story.
Is your choir auditioned?
They are auditioned. We have a lot of teachers, music teachers. We have a lot of people just in the community that love to sing. We have just regular people that love the things. And what I do now is we have a thing called CAVA, Capriccio Adult Vocal Academy, because I want my singers to be trained. So you have people that are here and you have people that are at the top. And so the key is to bring those in the middle. And so we do this Capriccio Adult Vocal Academy in the summer, starting in July. We do that. It's wonderful. We do Del Croce Rhythmics. We do sight reading. We do
I should take this.
Vocal technique.
I was thinking the same
vocal
thing.
Technique. We have Dinah McCullough, who's does our vocal technique. Joe Thrower, he's taught at Reynoldsburg for 30-something years, and he's has his own sight reading material, so he does that. And then we have Marla Butke from Ashland University doing Del Croce Rhythmics. So, and I got this from Salt Lake City, the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. They have a startup choir that.
Not forgetting you have a full season of concerts too. School's
yes.
Nice, but let's get real, okay?
It's just a week. It's a week long. It's 7 to 9, so it's a great time.
Now, Justin Johnston, I know you're fairly recent in your job at Wild Goose, although I think you have Columbus or Ohio roots. Am mm-hmm. I correct?
Yeah, that's right. I've been in Columbus for about 10 years, and actually I come from a music background, and I've been with Wild Goose for about 6 months.
When you walked into Wild Goose and you looked there and you thought, what was your first thought?
Yeah, the first time I went in, actually, I was looking for a venue to play a concert. And my wife said, you got to check out this place, Wild Goose. It's really cool. I was like, yeah, whatever. And so then I went in, and it turned out it was just right down the corner from me. I'd never been there before. And as soon as I walked in, I was like, yeah, this is the place. It's hard to explain. It's just so cool. It's got a good vibe.
Well, you walk in, and it's like a shoebox. You walk mm-hmm. to all the back, and which means there's lots of wall space around the side for gallery exhibitions
yep.
and things like that.
Yep.
How did you go from your first visit to becoming the executive director, and what's your day like?
My day is a little different every day. I got to be executive director. They posted the job over the summer, and it's my dream job, and I had like 10 people call me and say, hey, man, Wild Goose is open. You got to apply. And I was like, you're right, I do. So I started in September, and I wish I could tell you what I do every day, but it's something different every day. I have a team of little genius interns right now that help me get done everything that needs to get done. But it's everything from mopping the floors to booking the best acts in Columbus and on tour from
so
around the world.
You do function partially as a presenter. When you just said you book acts, attractions that come in and perform there.
Mm-hmm.
What give me a range of the kind of things that one you know, given month, will I be seeing readings or dance recitals, jazz? What? Give me
sure.
a kind of a.
So let's look at, if we look at May coming up, we have some
live
music.
We're going to look into the mic too when we talk, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Here, let me. Okay. So for instance, in May, we have a lot of great live music. Pinch Flat, which is on May 7th, is just in about a week. We have all different kinds of local music coming in that day, everything from acoustic to beatbox to just all sorts of great local talent. We have Jenny and Tyler also coming in that weekend. And then we have a guy named Lord Bishop from Germany who does Hendrixian motor funk. And he's coming on May 11th. And this guy is a riot. I cannot wait to see this guy.
I have to come to that. What's the date?
That's May 11th okay. at 8 p.m.
Write my name down. I'm coming.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. I'll put you on the list.
Thank you very much for that. And now they come to you. You find them.
They come to us. That's the great thing about Wild Goose is that people come to us. There's no way we could come up with 25 acts a month on our own. People come to us, and it's all kinds of stuff. You know, music, 6 a.m. dance parties, live storytelling, youth open mic night.
6 a.m. dance parties.
Wake and Shake once a month on the second Friday of every month. We're actually going to hit.
Great idea.
Yeah, we're going to hit our one-year anniversary in August. We get the coffee going. We get a DJ, different DJ every month.
Of course, for the DJ, he's not been to bed yet. It's
yeah,
not
exactly. Right. They don't mind. Right. They're like, I'm just finishing up my last
Dude,
night's gig.
Awesome,
just keep
man.
Going. Yeah. So it's a riot. You got to.
How are the neighbors with this?
The neighbors are cool.
Do they come? They could just come. I would just give up and show up.
Yeah, the neighbors were a little surprised at first, and then we said, hey, our bad. We should have given you a heads up. But I'll tell you what, come down next time. We'll get you a free cup of coffee. We'll get you dancing. We'll get your Friday started.
Wonderful idea.
Yeah.
That's just terrific. Mm-hmm. That's great. And you're going to have Joel Vega's going to sing Pagliacci there with the Mid-Ohio Opera.
Yeah. Yes. 6 a.m.
6 a.m.
Actually, I have to say, I was introduced to what you guys do a couple years ago. Yep. You had a symposium on how artists can market themselves, mm-hmm. especially as new startups. I think Bill Faust and some other folks were there from Ology. I love what you do.
Oh, thanks a lot. Yeah, business of art is another thing we do, which is what Joel's mentioning there. That happens about once a month, something different every month. And if you have an arts business idea or just don't even know where to get started, but want to network with some people, business of art is a great way to do it.
So you just come in and have discussions about the practical ways of self-marketing, self-promoting, self-programming, fundraising, and all that.
All that stuff, grants, marketing, social media, business plans, taxes. And not only is it free for the people that come, we feed you for free.
Oh, wow.
And that includes free beer.
Food. It's good food.
Yeah, it's good food.
You got a lot of great ideas. I congratulate you. I didn't know. I mean, I frankly, I've driven by you for 25 years. Mm-hmm. I've been living in Clintonville, and I know without knowing what it was. And I had to ask a colleague of mine, "Where is this place?" You know, because I mean, I had the address. I went on, online to find directions, and I live a mile away. Yep. So I mean, I should know where it is.
Singing my song, Chris. I hear this all the time.
Right, but still, you know, I don't think that's a bad thing. Make a little effort because it is right there. I mean, yep. It's right around the corner. Summit. Right as if you cut through Summit to go downtown, you're going right by there.
Yep.
You know, so right near a really dreadful, great pizza place that. The people that are on day passes, but it's good pizza. I'll say no more. Larry Griffin, I was kind of looking at you while Justin was speaking because, I mean, these are the really smart, savvy young people, and here are the two of us. We're like, we just do it, you know?
Yes.
just do it. And it also kind of works for us. I often say that when you go to a performance of something, what you're seeing in the concert is maybe 25% of what actually goes on.
Oh, yes.
In terms of even other outreach kind of performances or things that the general public might not get to. Are you involved with any of that kind of outreach with Capriccio Columbus?
We, every January, we do Worthington Martin Luther King. Matter of fact, I've been in that since, I guess 8 years now. And Capriccio's been involved with that, the Capriccio Youth Choir and everyone. We also do, like I said, we do a lot of collaborations. We have performed with pretty much every Central Ohio Symphony, Mansfield Symphony, Outerbein, Ohio, Westerville.
Yeah.
So we've done every symphony around to do things. My family, we do a concert, the Griffin concert, we call it.
Just with your family. That's
just with the family.
Yeah.
So we do that. That's our way of helping to support Capriccio. So we take a donation. The donation goes to Capriccio. And we also have a scholarship, a Jane Griffin scholarship that we put that out and do some things with that. So we're doing all types of things that we're just trying to Get connected.
If you want to know more about Wild Goose Creative, Capriccio Columbus, or the Mid-Ohio Opera, now's your chance to call and talk to the people who make it happen. 614-292-8513. You can also send an email to allsides@wosu.org. You can buy Justin Johnston coffee if you have a great idea for an arts presentation.
I'll get you coffee. The coffee's free at Wild Goose.
I'm working here, okay? I'm trying to get you fed over here. 614-292-8513 or allsides@wosu.org. Joel, Mid-Ohio Opera, you're now, I guess, going into your third season. You have a big production of Madame Butterfly coming up later in the summer. Where do you want the company to go? What's the trajectory?
The trajectory is to become not only a full season production company, but I want to get young artists coming up through the system. And actually, for Madame Butterfly in July, we have two local singers who just graduated from universities in the area who are going to be singing smaller roles, Kate Pickerton and Goro, not a very small role, but he gets to sing quite a bit.
Okay.
Yeah. He gets to be the pimp.
That's a great part, yeah.
But we also have, I want to expand, we're doing a yearly masterclass series. And this year, May 27th through the 29th, we have Dr. Arlene Schrutt coming from the Juilliard School. I met her in my time down in the Carolinas. I was a young artist with Opera Carolina for a season. I got my master's from Winthrop down there. Anyways, I met her there, and she has agreed to come into a weekend masterclass and lecture residency, which is free and open to the public, hosted by The Ohio State University Mansfield in the Conard Performing
Hall. Are you developing a relationship with that campus?
Actually, I taught there for 2 years.
Right, okay.
Dr. David Tovey allowed me to teach chorus and group voice there for 2 years. It is a mainstay of the arts there in our town. So I want to involve more of the community, more of the students, retain some of those people, and then bring them up through the company as we're adding performances. That's the ultimate trajectory.
Do you have an orchestra using Mansfield Symphony?
We are not yet. There are plans.
Want me to call them?
Yeah, sure. No, I talk to them all. I talk to them all the time. Hello, Taylor, Chelsea Taylor, and yes. No, we're using piano at the moment. We have our good friends Paul Chanley and his wife Sophia Pavlenko coming up from North Carolina. She's a Ukrainian concert pianist. He is a former staff member coach at the Metropolitan Opera. They're in Troy, North Carolina, but they bring their own Steinway grand pianos with them.
They bring a truck, yeah.
And he is he's a trained Steinway technician, so they bring in the circus and set it up, tear it down, tune it, the whole thing.
Sell the children and get the piano, yeah.
Yeah.
That's even better. And where do you perform? Where will the Madame Butterfly performance be given?
The performance this summer is going to be at the Mansfield Masonic Temple in the Commandery Room. It's a big theater, seating on all three sides, but we treat the company like a pop-up restaurant. And that keeps overhead low. So we do performances in coffee shops, in churches. Last summer, we performed Elixir at the local high school auditorium, which is almost 1,000 seats, brand new state of the art.
You go where the people are.
Exactly.
Fish where the fish are. That makes great sense.
I run it out of my living room, and I only pay one electric bill. It's brilliant.
Okay. We have some calls coming in. We're going to take a break right now and get to you. If you want to have a conversation with our impresarios / performers, 292-8513. That's a 614 number. We'll be right back. We're back for our final segment of today's All Sides Weekend. I'm Christopher Purdy, here with Joel Vega from the Mid-Ohio Opera Company based up in Mansfield, Larry Griffin with Capriccio Columbus, and Justin Johnston from Wild Goose Creative. And Jackie is on the phone. Thank you for holding, Jackie. Jackie has a question for Justin. Hi, Jackie.
Hi. Thank you. Well, this is a question for Justin with Wild Goose Creative. And I think I was a postal carrier in the Harrison West area for somebody who was a Wild Goose person, but and now I'm retired. At any rate, my friend and I have an idea to honor an artist who has recently died with an art gallery and an art therapy situation to help people who are in crisis, because
great.
She was in crisis when she died.
Mm-hmm.
I just wondered what suggestion you might have for us to look for some assistance or grant or some kind of situation.
So you're looking to start up a specific project. Okay, Jackie, let's turn it over to Justin.
Hey, Jackie. Yeah, so I'll make this simple for you. We can make that happen at Wild Goose. This is what we specialize in. And we could definitely sit down sometime and have a really long conversation about this. And if you want to talk about it more, shoot me an email, justin@wildgoosecreative.org, or you can go to our website and you can email me from there. The short end of this story is Wild Goose would love to host an event like this. I'm interested to hear more. I'm really excited about the idea. And in addition, one of the services that we offer to artists is that we can help you with the grant-making process. And we're happy to not only act as your fiscal sponsor, which is sometimes required, but walk you through the grant process. After we talk about your idea some more, I could give you some suggestions for which grants you should look for and also the people at the granting agencies like the Greater Columbus Arts Council that you would want to talk to. Send me an email, justin@wildgoosecreative.org. We'll set something up. You can buy the coffee, or if you come to me, we'll have it ready for you at Wild Goose.
Bring him some donuts, Jackie. Yeah, He'll bring you the coffee.
There you go.
He's kind of thin. He needs more donuts than like some of us. Now, listen, so that's interesting to me that you are really capital F full service. I mean, if I walked in with an idea and I didn't have $10,000 in my wallet to make it happen right then, but I had maybe a little something and I had an idea. So you really are in a position to partner with that and say, here's a resource, et cetera.
Yeah. So the whole point of Wild Goose is if you have an idea, we're going to help you make it happen, even if it doesn't happen in our gallery space. We want it to happen in our gallery space. But even if it doesn't, our interest is to support artists and to support our community.
It's a good gallery space, and it's a very, very exciting neighborhood. They used to call it a transitional neighborhood. It's done that. Now it's happening. So I would think that that's a great idea. If you're out there with any kind of idea you think is just too nuts to be possible, call Justin, because I bet he might find a way to make it go.
Oh, I guarantee you it's not too nuts, and we would love to do it.
Okay, not too nuts. We'll talk later. Anyway. Now, Larry, you have some concerts coming up. Again, let's review what's coming up with Capriccio Columbus.
We have our children's choir, youth choir, the 1st, May 1st, at All Saints Lutheran Church at 4 p.m. That's a Sunday. And then we also have June 11th at Beechwald Christian Church at 5:30 p.m. We're doing the Carl Jenkins Requiem. So we'll be doing that. And that's what we're doing so far.
You do difficult things to perform. What is the rehearsal schedule like? If you accept me as a choir member, I come and audition, or you know, just generally somebody comes and auditions and they get in. What is their commitment then?
We rehearse Tuesday nights from 7 to 9 p.m. If we feel like it needs to go longer, we'll let them know till 9:30. But we my expectations are pretty high. So that's why we have the Capriccio Adult Vocal Academy for people. But for the most part, it's working the voices, and we get it done. We, with Carrie and myself, we'll run sectionals for the first 4 or 5 rehearsals, and then we put it all together, and hopefully it works.
Now, I very much believe, I'm sure you would never say that you're a one-person operation, but I'm just listening and looking to you and having seen you conduct, I would think that what you say is how it's going to go, because it's been working so far. I mean, don't break it. If it's not broke, don't fix it.
Right.
You, Joe Vega, I don't know. So what, and you're
man
not,
of mystery,
you're
I
not
like
spoiled
that.
Like the rest of us. He's still young, you know, and how many people are helping you put on operas in Mansfield, Ohio?
Well, right now we have a board of about 8.
We know all about boards. Now,
Now,
let me ask you again. How many people are helping you put on operas?
really, it's a core of about 3 folks.
Yourself, your wife, and...
And a friend who happens to show up who needs beer.
Yeah. In your living room, right.
Exactly.
Yeah, how did you choose... Banner Butterfly is a big show. It's a difficult show. It's a wonderful show. And it's something that audiences love, which I would suggest is probably why you chose to perform it. How are you getting that from the living room to the theater?
Well, we have some wonderful partners, some local sponsors, some like Richland Bank and the Richland County Foundation that help a lot with the funding. And essentially, I'm a collector of people. I know people who do things that I need to have done, and they tend to like me, hopefully. After this, they still like me. And I just knock on doors and give phone calls and say, hey, can I use your space? Would you help me move pianos? That's how we do it. And for the shows that we do, I just pick things that I love and that I connect with, and I am a consumer of it. And so far, people have really responded the same.
I understand that with you and Larry being part of the actual performance as you are, but Justin, you must have to have very, very eclectic interests, or I can't imagine you'd want to be bored because all the people and all the different kind of organizations that come through there wanting to do things. So are you looking for any specific to serve any one audience again, or really quite seriously, does anything go?
Honestly, it's almost anything goes. So when somebody comes to look at our space and to talk through an idea, the one rule is the art that's on the wall has to stay on the wall. You can't move that, but literally anything else in the space can be moved around. You can actually take our stage apart and put it on the other side of the room if you want, as long as you put it back. And the best part of my job is that we always say yes. We always find a way to make it happen.
Any kind of really kind of worthwhile arts endeavor or creative endeavor. The word creative is in your title, not arts. And I think that's interesting. I like that.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Any wild imaginative idea is this. That's our jam. That's the stuff. Those are our people.
When did Wild Goose open?
We opened in our current space in 2008. We opened that space. And I should say we. I was not around at the time. But the founders opened that space. And for 2 years prior to that, they were producing events actually in their homes. And became so popular and had good momentum that they opened the gallery space we have now.
And do you have any idea what the first performances were, the first audiences were in the current space?
You know, I can't say what the first performances
were,
but we have a long history of storytelling. One of our best programs, our most popular programs, is Speakeasy, which is live, true life stories. Just one person on a stage with a mic. It's a different theme every month. You just have to tell a true story and you can't read from a script. And it's great. And that's one of our longest standing programs that's been around pretty much since the beginning. And we're still doing it. I would encourage people to check that out. That's first Thursday of the month.
Could you also talk about some of the writing workshops that go on over there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We have a writer's workshop, which is two times a month, second and fourth Tuesday, totally free. Bring a case of beer. Meet some new friends, bring 10 minutes worth of material to read. And it's a very friendly atmosphere. People of all experience levels. Some people have been writing for 30 years. Some people are writing their first short story. It's a totally free program. And Andy Anderson runs that. He's my dude, man. He is like, he's so good at it. He does a great job. That's a really great program we have.
And I should also mention that your wife, Carrie, runs the Columbus Children's Choir, doesn't she?
She does.
Yes.
She's brilliant at that. She's over there. She's a bassoonist. We used to sit next to each other in the orchestra.
You played oboe, did you not?
Clarinet.
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 Oh, okay.
Still do. We play together every now and then. And she's just like a little mini mogul over there, just kicking butt and taking names.
And Joel's married to a soprano. God bless
us
and spare us. Yeah.
She insists that I hyphenate this. Heidi Kirschenheider Vega. She's a dramatic color.
Kirschenheider
Vega. I said, well, you lost 10 letters when we got married. No, it got to happen. She's a dramatic coloratura, sings Queen of the Night as soon as she gets up. She's a wonderful, long-suffering partner.
Basically, you don't mess with that voice type.
No.
Because they will slice them right off. They don't care.
Laser beams.
That's it. That's right. Is your house peaceful, Larry, or not?
My house is very peaceful.
Okay.
I'm married to Ellen,
yes.
And Ellen is director of Community Crime Patrol.
Wow.
And so we don't mess with her.
No.
She's also the manager of Capriccio.
Right.
So anything that,
you really
that goes
don't mess
on,
with her.
She knows what's happening. She keeps me in line. So that's my boss.
So when does she ever, when you are planning a season or a performance, will she ever look at you and say, mm-mm?
Yes. Yes. And
then what do you say?
And I go, well, can we think about it?
You call Justin, who makes it happen.
Yes. You know, but usually it's we have a whole group that Allison Bates, Carrie Horton, and then my wife will sit there and go, no, that's not a good idea. So we change it.
And your children are also have followed you into music.
Yes.
Yes, yes, yes. Is your daughter going to go to law school, please God, or get an
MBA? My daughter wants to be, right now, she wants to be a psychologist.
Oh, well, good.
So,
well, handy, good. She'll be busy.
But she has a beautiful alto voice, and I'm trying to convince her to go into music. She did all my sectionals when I was in high school. She was in all-state choirs every year and got superior ratings and things, and I'm sort of going, you sure? Don't want to go into this.
So at Christmas at your house, you can all sing Messiah around the dinner table.
We sing to wake up.
Yeah.
It's, instead of hollering at people, we just sing a song and they will make up something in, you know, on the phone, and then all of a sudden it becomes something crazy. So it's exciting. Really exciting.
What do you want from your audience besides they show up and pay to be there?
I want them to come and enjoy listening to wonderful music and become part of a family within the rehearsal. Instead of just where you just come in and sit, and it's like, I want them active. I want them interactive. I want them to feel like they can, if they like something, that's what I love about jazz. If they like it, they do it. And I think that's what I've always wanted. You know, let me know. And so I try to talk to them. I'm a nut. Only time I'm serious is when I'm in front of the choir. But other than that, you know, my kids will tell you that he's crazy. You know, you never know what's going to happen. So, and that's what we want in rehearsal, and that's what we want in performance.
So, you know, you have Beethoven, you have Mozart, you have jazz, you have spirituals. You have your back to the audience a lot of the time as the conductor, but I'm sure you can feel the audience connect.
Oh, yes.
But Joel, when you have something like opera, which is still foreign to a lot of people, and people have a very preconceived stereotype of what they think it is, which keeps them from coming. How do you get them to connect? When you're even in mid performance, what do you have to do?
Well, I mean, first, I think we have to bring it off. Pardon the Wagnerian thing. We have to bring it out of Valhalla. We have to take this art form, which has stood the test of time, off the pedestal and bring it to the people. And that sounds almost Central American. But we do performances. Like right now, we are organizing house opera parties. Now, it has to be a large house with a very nice piano. But if folks know they have a group of friends who are interested in at least being acquainted with this kind of music, we will come to their house and we will bring the opera singers to them. So, Mr. Wexner, if you're listening, we'll come to your house. seriously. So we sing at local coffee shops. I think when people experience it, when they connect with your eyes and they feel literally we are air shakers as singers, we shake your whole body. It is a visceral experience. So the first thing is to take our art to them. And then once they're there, it's actually a pretty easy sell by just the sheer presence.
Do you? I often say that one of the beauty of my job when I go out into community is that I sometimes see the lights go on.
Yeah.
Do you get that?
I do. And actually, that's it started as a performer. You know, all of us, you see that connection, you see that light, and that transferred into teaching for me. One of my favorite courses to teach is at our community college, North Central State in Mansfield. I teach music appreciation to X-ray techs. And, you know, I love playing Beethoven's Fifth. And right now, a lot of music education isn't getting into the schools. So I seriously have college students, I've never heard Beethoven. Mm. What is this? But by the end of the semester or by the end of the opera, people get it. And you see that light. And it's addictive.
Yeah, you activate the hunger. The hunger very much. Well, I was just thinking, Justin, because you're a clarinetist and your wife plays bassoon, do you have chamber music concerts?
We do, actually. Wild Goose is a great place for chamber music. Yeah. It's the right size.
Yeah, it is, yeah. Sit in a circle around the musicians would be, I think, wonderful.
Yeah, we've had a couple of new music concerts in there. Some of the Johnstone concerts, if you know them, they know how to put on
Hi, Zoe. Hi, Jack. Thank you.
Yes,
thank
hello. You. Thank you thank so you. Much. They've put on a couple of concerts now at Wild Goose, and it's the perfect venue for it. We have a little stage, perfect for 3, 4, 5 people. You get a crowd of anywhere from 50 to 100, and you get that electric energy going, and it's really cool. It's a BYOB space. A lot of times it's a bring-your-own-food kind of space, so you have a really intimate experience with the performers. And I like that idea of air shakers because Wild Goose is the right size for 3-4 people to fill the house and just really blow off the roof.
And you can sit on the floor, don't lean against the wall because of the artwork, but you can sort of – it's pretty informal. You don't have to really sit in the dark on your best behavior.
Exactly, and we would encourage you not to be on your best behavior. It's not that kind of room. And anybody that comes in, any musicians, they can set up the house any way they want. So tables – chairs, bar tops, linens, lounge furniture. You could put it anywhere in the house that you want. You can move the lights around if you want.
If you have an idea at all, talk to Justin Johnson at Wild Goose Creative. You never know. They have a website.
WildGooseCreative.org.
And you can find him there. You can find everything you need to know there. If you love music, you need to go to Larry Griffin's concerts with Capriccio Columbus. The next one, the Requiem, is coming up.
June 11th.
At
5:30 at Beechwald Christian Church.
Okay, you can come sit with me if you want or not. Don't sit with me, whatever. And Joel Vega, Mid-Ohio Opera, your next big thing is Madame Butterfly, right?
July 20th, 22nd, and 24th in Mansfield.
not all big things, but the next marquee thing would be Madame Butterfly in Mansfield. We'll talk more as they come. Justin Johnston, Executive Director of Wild Goose Creative, thank you.
Thank you.
Griffin, Artistic Director, Founder of Capriccio Columbus, thank you. And Joel Vega, Mid-Ohio Opera Executive Director, Artistic Director, and Tenor, in that order probably. Thank you all very much. I'm Christopher Purdy. This is All Sides Weekend. My thanks to Shyla Knott, our producer today, very patient, charming, and professional, and to all of you for listening.